And this one is going to be fun. Fun with the note in hand.
That was sort of the mascot, by the way, before our friend
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald
won the best burger in the world.
Do two patties with the cheese in the middle, and then you go ahead and you can use a molder.
But it was fun just going there, ordering the 30 centimeter burger.
Like, it has to be. It's one of those things where you go to a restaurant, and if they have a burger, you order a burger.
We have them all in Dubai. Right. Yeah. A food destination, a food country. Welcome to another episode of Burgers Unscripted. And this one is going to be fun. Fun with a note in hand. Fun with lots of burger facts.
Facts.
We're going to have fun, smile, laugh, and remember things. Burgers in numbers. Since the creation hundreds of years ago. I'll let you start.
Oldest hamburger chain. What is it?
White Castle 1921. So we went online, things you can find online, and search for our favorites, McDonald's stories, Burger King stories, White Castle, etc., etc., and some info here and there. Some things stood out, of which the heaviest burger is 2,566 kilograms or 5,646. Pounds in Germany in 2017. And White Castle, have you ever had a White Castle burger?
I have once traveling.
Very,
it was good. They were square, small sliders. So it did what it did.
And it was the first time that the burger becomes a fast food item with White Castle in 1921.
Yeah, 1921, exactly. Yeah. And then from that stemmed Wendy's, by the way, whose inspiration was from White Castle.
We have a perception that Burger King is a new chain, but it started in 1953.
Yeah, two brothers. Yeah, it is old, and it's right up there with McDonald's in the same sort of era. As we were saying earlier, Insta Broiler was what they were famous for because they brought that char, and they changed the name from Insta Burger King. And they dropped the word Insta, which I think is appropriate then. Maybe here nowadays with Instagram, it should have been Insta Burger King.
So the newest of all is Five Guys, 1986. Tell me the story. Five is five partners, five brothers?
Yeah, well, not brothers. They're sons and it's the wife. So it's Five Guys with a woman.
Family owned,
yes.
1986, yeah. Based in Washington. I tried to connect with them and visit them. I couldn't do that. One of my favorite, I've been trying it in 17 countries. I've tried McDonald's in 17 countries. But Five Guys stands out to having the same exact quality, flavor, taste in all of them. On a McDonald's level, usually the fries are better in a country or other, depending on the quality of potatoes. The bun has the same recipe, but it differs between one and the other patty as well. But usually you still have that same greatness, if you want to call it greatness. Sometimes good, sometimes better, sometimes you feel heavy after it.
Yeah, sure.
There are countries where I couldn't enjoy it much. So let's go on and continue. How many Five Guys stores around the world? 1,700 stores. How many McDonald's around the world? I believe they reached around...
They were...
26,000 or something, yeah. Something of the stores. Tell me fun things.
Some things. McDonald's, 1940 was what it was, and it didn't open as a burger shop. Lo and behold, it was a barbecue joint before that. And once they perfected their sort of way, which is a name, and it was actually trademark, which is the Speedy. It was called Speedy, and that was sort of the mascot, by the way, before our friend
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald, yeah.
Tell me, why do Americans eat a milkshake with a burger?
That's a good one. Just to wash it down with a nice vanilla milkshake is fantastic, actually.
I think I compared it a little bit with having Iran Laban with the falafel.
Yeah, that is a perfect.
Probably need that yogurt
analogy,
thing
yeah.
to digest yeah. better.
Or coat your stomach or, after what you exactly. just had.
I'm going to tell you things about McDonald's in a way or another. So I discovered a couple of years ago when I started writing on my blog something called the Big Mac Index.
Oh yeah.
So when you take a Big Mac, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, you would understand a little bit the economy of a country accordingly. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to that, I took a decision. Every time I am at a hotel, hungry or not, I would order club sandwich.
Club sandwich. Yeah.
Exactly. So the club sandwich can go down from at least $18, $19 at the restaurant all the way up to $70. So you would know, one, how expensive the country is, how expensive the city is, how expensive the hotel is, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But that club sandwich is at every single room delivery, room service.
That's why I was like, oh, because whenever I'm in a hotel, I order a club sandwich. I don't know if it's
start just looking at the price from now on.
It's like it has to be. It's one of those things where you go to a restaurant and if they have a burger, you order a burger. But it's funny, yeah. Hotels and club sandwich, there is a link for sure.
And we can do the same for if we want to do it our own way and create the Manoush index. So Manoush in Lebanon is around half a dollar sometimes, up to a dollar if it's way expensive, Manoush Za'atar. And it goes all the way up, 3.5 euros in France, up to 5. Yeah. Za'atar, huh?
What is Za'atar, huh? Wow.
12 dirhams, 10.5 dirhams, the cheapest in the UAE, up to 17 dirhams. Manoush Za'atar again. So look at, you'll understand how expensive the country is. Manoush Za'atar for a dollar, up to an average of 12 dirhams, that is $3. So you see Lebanon versus others. Or going to Manoush Za'atar in Iraq, which is cheaper. Manoush Za'atar in New York, $4, $5. Again, Za'atar, not the cheese, not the meat. So understanding the value of things around the world by choosing one item and replicated all across, you'll know how expensive.
Do you feel, why is that? Why is there such a discrepancy? And when we say it can help us understand the economy, how? Meaning, is it, do they import it? Do they pay higher? Is it better ingredients?
Food,
what's the?
It starts by when you're ordering any food, you're paying part of the rent.
Okay.
Which we discussed in the last episode. So now one of the episodes we talked about, if you want to open a burger shop, how much would it cost? So would it cost $1 million in UAE dirham? Would it cost $1 million in Lebanon?
Right,
no.
Right,
would it cost $3 million in New York? So one, when you order food, you need to understand that you're paying part of the rent. Two, you're paying part of the quality of the ingredients and price of the ingredients, which has a different price depending on the country. The delivery cost of the ingredients. So are we buying a burger in New York that gets bread from California? Right. I'm saying whatever.
Right.
One, importing the goods, if goods are important. Five, and most importantly, you're paying part of the labor costs. So labor cost in Lebanon is, let's say, $400 an employee.
For an engineer.
Yeah, up to 3,700 Swiss francs in Switzerland. So imagine the differences. More fun facts, back to the fun facts. McDonald's operates in 120 countries, if you knew. The drive-thru concept has been created in 1975, and McDonald's opens one new store every 14.5 hours. That's two new stores daily, that's 700 stores yearly. That's a big thing.
That's crazy, yeah.
Cheeseburgers.
Oh, there you go. What we were talking about earlier. The cheeseburger was reportedly invented in the 1920s, earlier than I thought, by a teenager named Lionel, Pasadena, California. Seems all good things come from California.
So Cheeseburger Day is September 18th. American Burger Day is May 20th.
May.
28th,
yeah. National Cheeseburger Day, yeah. Yep. 55 million times annually worldwide, the McDonald's Big Mac has been sold. Wow.
What's the average calories in a burger?
Average calorie in a burger or which burger?
Any burger.
The hamburger, let's go with McDonald's. The hamburger is surprisingly not as bad as one thinks. So, quote me, but somewhere around 400.
It starts at 400.
Yeah. Of course, you add
on
cheese.
Average of cheese to 1,000.
But our friend.
The biggest one ever done is animal style, Las Vegas creation, whatever, God. Fat at 12,000.
I was going to say 1,2. Okay.
I remember the first time I landed in the States, I wanted to try that famous brand called Fat Burger.
Fat Burger, yeah. Las Vegas.
Oof. Yeah. So fatty.
Yeah.
So fatty.
You feel it
so
in the name. Heavy. It have to be brand essence.
Wow.
You call it Fat Burger.
How do they sustain it? How many burgers can they sell a day?
Oh my gosh.
Not sure.
Yeah.
The bun.
The bun, yeah.
Brioche or potato buns are popular because they're soft yet hold up well. Toasting the bun adds texture and prevents sogginess, the way we talked about it. Let's talk about some histories of the burgers. So 50 billion is the estimated number of burgers consumed annually in the United States.
50 billion.
The average price of a McDonald's hamburger is $1.6, launched in 1940. So imagine it was $15 back then. So taking it on today's value, it's $15 today. So yeah. The burger is not 15 today. A bit less on a burger alone. It has jumped in price tremendously this year, considering that labor cost in California, again, back to your California, has went up to $20. So burgers have gone
spiked through the roof.
It's not as cheap as it used to be.
No.
Or Akl al-Fa'ir, like we could use.
Which maybe. Do you think that would hinder the choice now? I'm just going to go grab a burger for 25 or get something else for 25.
Yeah. Let's remind ourselves of the origins of the burger. So the Mongolians probably started ground beef. Back to Germany, who have created the hamburger. Hamburger, some people say hamburger, ham as for ham, jambon, pork. No, it's hamburg.
Yeah.
And then perfected by the Americans.
Yeah, and the Mongolians, just a quick reference on them. They probably didn't do the ground beef, but they started beef being tenderized. Then Germany and France chopped it up and did it in the ground beef. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about the burger emoji. So the emoji was created, and just the burger, any burger, but the cheese was put under the patty. And it created controversy.
Wow.
And then Google had to recreate it and put the cheese over the patty because it doesn't make sense.
That's how powerful the people are when they care about burgers.
Yes.
When you waste time perfecting, correcting an emoji.
A Big Mac and a Whopper.
Mm-hmm. Big Mac and a Whopper. Big Mac obviously has an extra bread. The Whopper is char broiled, so you have the grill marks and it's the fire and the flame taste, flame broiled. Big Mac has its special sauce. The Whopper has its mayonnaise sauce, lettuce and some mayonnaise and pickles, tomatoes. Both of them have a sesame bun. Both are good, but if a Whopper is done properly, it's really good if it's done properly. The Big Mac, I have to say, if it's not done that great, still can hold up. You still get it, you still eat it.
So but the Big Mac sells 550 million burgers a year.
How much is the Whopper?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought that was gonna be the comparison. How many, 500?
550 million a year.
It's no wonder they're relaunching it, like every couple, they relaunch it and they put it, you know, the original Big Mac and everything. It's
innovation of creating, of putting a bun in the middle was.
Have you heard of a place, again in California, something called Bob's Big Boy?
Yeah, never tried it.
Bob's Big Boy, for those Californians out there, I think they were first to put a bun in the middle. And it's a famous, if you look it up, Bob's Big Boy. They're not, let's say, plentiful anymore, but there's still a couple locations. They actually, it's a diner. They launched sort of a Big Mac thing before the Big Mac, which was insane. And Bob's Big Boy, if anybody had a chance to try it, was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. It was a good one. Yeah, it's a big statue. A lot of stories of people stealing the statue, taking it home and whatnot, and it sits outside the restaurant where this big boy dressed in red and I don't know what, blue or whatever, and he's holding this Big Mac lookalike.
Burgers and fries come in pair, and we forgot to speak about fries. So let's talk about fries.
Fries,
so
yeah.
How would you imagine fries with a burger? Any other fries, peeled, unpeeled, deep fried, cooked once, cooked several times.
Yeah, that's a good one. I personally, I'm not a fan of curly fries and Cajun. You know, Five Guys have their spice and whatnot, or steak fries. With my burger, I like traditional 10x10. I do like Shake Shack's fries, which is the crinkle.
That's the only thing that's good.
I do like it. That's for sure.
Fries.
But it has to be crispy on the outside, fluffy on the inside. If you're doing your own, here's some more tips. If you're doing your own, you go ahead and do it. You wash out the starch, you fry it, you remove it, You put it in the fridge, freezer, you get it to the temperature, keep it there, then you fry it again. So it's called double fry. And then you have that beautiful crispiness.
It's always important to remove the starch.
Yeah. Yeah, especially important. If you're using the right potato, you know, the russet or
peeled
more starchy
or
potato. It's interesting. I've tried both. At our shop, we do, it just cooked better. I don't know why. Unpeeled. I do enjoy with the peel, you know, but obviously you're talking about potatoes. The peel, you're talking about, you know, because when you cut it, it's just on the sides and
so whatnot. Potatoes are not created alike. There are hundreds of families of potatoes. So would you accept any potato that comes in or would you search for a brand?
No.
For a family?
No, definitely. You need to search for the right potato. And it's a lot of it's trial and error. A lot of it is to stick with what works and knows. And the russet potato is a good one, the American russet of Idaho. Other ones lend itself for baking. Other ones lend itself for mashed or for salads. So they don't fry well. They don't cut well. So fries are not, potatoes are not all created equal. Definitely not.
So you can fry your fries with any oil, seed oil?
You can. I wouldn't, but yeah.
What's our problem with seed oil? Why are the trends pushing it away lately?
Seed oil has proven to be completely not healthy. Inflammatory, skin problems, digestive tract. It's just not as healthy as what was given to us earlier. Palm oil, Crisco, canola. Does anybody know what canola is? What is it? It's Canadian oil. It's an acronym, like, you know what I mean? So
created in the World War to...
yeah, so you're talking natural. So that's the beauty. And when you say organic, fantastic. How much more organic can you get when you're using beef tallow? You know what I mean? So, and like I said, it's if you don't look at those as your convincing taste.
Shortening,
again, if it's ghee or raw butter or butter is far better. Butter is far better because it's also a source that
is. So we're changing the perceptions of what people had before.
100%.
So frying in oil that looks golden is not as healthy as you think. So you need to go on something that is healthier. There is also that thing we need to change and never use olive oil for frying, even though olive oil is great
and
for frying.
And smoke point.
If you do not burn it.
Yeah.
And shortening is not as bad as... We think it is if it's good quality, not trans fat or whatever.
Ghee. What is ghee? Ghee is clarified butter. You know, so it's the shift is going back to more wholesome.
How can I have my fries crispy, golden, crispy, crunchy, and tender on the inside and not empty?
Double fry for sure. Make sure you know what it is. Make sure that you've done it and you know exactly what it is. Because if you go to our famous Five Guys. You see the fries there, right? They're all there, single fried. Once the order comes in, they pop it in there and they double fry it. That will give you the golden outside because it's already reached its temperature. What you're doing is you're frying the outside, not the inside.
So the best way to do fries is wash your potato, cut it in fingers, soak it in water for 30 minutes, remove it from water, dry it, fry it once.
Yeah.
Keep it on the side and then refry it second time.
Fridge, freezer, just to kind of get it back what it is and then refry it again.
A small hint if I want...
Baking
powder? No, it's a small, little tiny hint. If you want it to be golden without having to over fry it, just squeeze a little bit of lemon on
lemon.
It
interesting.
Before frying it.
They say cornstarch too, but yeah. Lemon, that's interesting. I like lemon with fries. So we have two fries. One is called the West Coast. Which is a loaded fries, our sort of chili slash beef. It's a hack, by the way. So all you AUD guys, don't come to me now with that. It's a cheeseburger with a large fry and our OTG house made sauce. Like you can't get better. So it's without the bun. That's literally what you're getting. And then we have something I created, which is the East Coast. You want to take a stab of what the East Coast is? If the West Coast is the American, what's my East Coast fry?
Simple. Mayonnaise on the side?
Nope. Batata harra.
Batata harra.
Have you ever tried it?
With French fries.
It is fantastic. Fantastic. Cilantro, garlic, done properly with chili flakes. That's where I got me smiling when you said lemon or lime, usually lime because we do burrito bowls, so lime. And we make our own little hot sauce slash ketchup, and you put that in there. It is phenomenal.
Using so it's a batata French fries.
Yes, but not but crispy. No, French fries. It's very nice. It's a cilantro, garlic cilantro fries, if you want to call it.
What's the biggest burger you've ever had? Biggest in size. I'll tell you about a burger place in Beirut, in Sen El Fil, probably called Abu Saco.
Abu Saco, I know.
I remember it to be around roast beefs 30 centimeters. I'm not sure that he uses pure beef, whatever. But it was fun just going there, ordering the 30 centimeter burger, cut it in four, distributed to the guys. Yeah. It looked nice. It looked big. I'm sure for the price paid, because it was probably cheaper than a Big Mac, it's not 100% beef with all the kak and all the bread crumbs and everything. But it was just fun. Wow. Okay,
I think 1 pound, if you remember Fuddruckers we were talking about. So Fuddrucker has it in a third, half a pound and whatnot. And I think, we did a 1 pounder burger, which is quite heavy.
Have you ever heard of the Juicy Lucy?
Juicy Lucy, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota. Juicy Lucy are fantastic. We also serve that in one of our Burger of the Month or on demand, which is
how's
gorgeous.
The perfect way to do it, to be able to have to encapsulate the cheese on the inside?
That's very important. You have to make sure. Remember, guys, the topic of the pizza burger? Same exact concept. You need to make sure that the beef is completely shut so the cheese doesn't melt out while you're cooking. So you've got, there are two patties with the cheese in the middle, and then you go ahead and you can use a molder if you want, but after you use the molder, then you just use your hands to make sure that it's completely done. And you grill it on one side, grill it on the other side, because it stays moist on the inside also. Juicy Lucy's fantastic. And then another one is patty melt. Mm-hmm. Patty melt is great. Not many people know it to appreciate it. Let me say it that way. Know it to appreciate it, because it's a fantastic
super
burger. San Francisco, wonderful.
Super big fan
wonderful.
Of patty melt.
Oh yeah?
It's even better than having a burger. So it's square bread, lots of butter,
lots of
cheese, thin, juicy patty in the middle. It feels like a toasted cheese sandwich. Super buttery, but amazing, lightly crispy, flaky on the outside.
Yeah, it just hits all your senses,
and
as you said.
Did you know that you can create that at Five Guys? So order a double cheeseburger with an addition of meat instead of ordering a hamburger with an addition of cheese.
Yeah.
So order the double cheese sandwich.
Yes, yes.
With double patty in the middle.
Yes. Wow.
Different taste. Different
and flavor. The way they do it using the bun is fantastic. It's brilliant, actually. The upside down bun is like fantastic.
Back to UAE, where we're having this podcast recorded, we're trying to talk about local brands as much as we can. And one brand I personally like, really enjoy, I've been having it probably once every 2 weeks or twice a month, Pickle.
Yeah.
Even though they have started as a chicken place, turned into chicken and then having the beef, their beef is excellent in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And their chicken is next level, super thick, focusing on the chicken, shiny and on the inside, very juicy. You bite into it. There is no water that comes out, but yet it's moist. What do you think of pickles?
Pickle, I like pickle. And I'm so happy that we brought it up, especially now, because I honestly think UAE, not just Dubai, are putting out fantastic homegrown concepts, like fantastic exportable. And not just in the burger field. So in the burger, high joint, pickle, in pizza, you got Pitfire, it just all homegrown, wonderful concept. I enjoy pickle, I enjoy high joint. And like I said, remember I was saying in Deliveroo or any other aggregator, Talabat or anything, to make sure we go through all of them. Those are the usual suspects. It's very hard for a newcomer to come in without a brick and mortar, without any marketing, without anything to kind of get the vote to click it.
Franchise versus locally created. 30 years ago, a famous company used to be known to importing American concept called Americana, with more than 1,200 restaurants around the Middle East. And the idea was, it's fun, it's sexy to get American concept, so why not get more and more of these American things? And then fast forward to today's, it's more about creating our own and exporting to them. And instead of having to travel around the world to experience great food, we have them all in Dubai. a food destination, a food country, homegrown concepts, lots of them, lots of barbecue places, lots of brisket, pastrami, smoking, lots of events. On the burger side, lots of development into Australian, American, South African, quality of beef, what kind of meat you would use. And fast forward to Dubai, by a Lebanese, owned or won the best burger in the world.
Yes,
Hassan. Last week. So
and his partner for the year before, which is, I think, a beautiful accomplishment for Dubai, UAE as a whole, and the organizers behind this sort of world. I forgot the name, sorry, but the world best, you know. It's, you know, which is 11 Green also won third place or second place the year before. So that's 2 years in a row coming from Dubai, echoing what you're saying about before we bring, now we have them take us in a sense. It's a wonderful achievement. And that's, so that's
PK can be a Chick-fil-A competitor. And why not? What do you think of the burgers at the chicken brands, so KFC and the others? Or
haven't eaten at KFC maybe in 15 years. I don't know. KFC, I haven't really eaten. When I did, it was the Zinger. I remember that. So it's actually this. So it's not a tortilla or anything like that. Chicken brands. I'd like Nashville Sando's. At restaurants, I enjoy having them. They do it quite well. But if it's from a fast food brand, then Pickle has a good one. High Joint does pretty good pickle. High Joint has a pretty good Sando sandwich. But usually restaurants have a great one. It comes in a plate. It'll come either with potato chips or some other kind of chips.
There's something I like that didn't pick up as much as it should be. The roast beef sandwich back then at Hardee's.
Arby's. Yeah.
And
I love roast beef. Shaved roast beef is phenomenal.
With the
sauce, cheddar, the red or the sauce, cheddar sauce, absolutely.
Yellow, cheap cheddar cheese.
100% cheap.
It's all sticky messy together. And
Arby's is a good one. Hardee's had one in Saudi when I was there. It was one of the first, among the first restaurants.
Last episode of our amazing season about burgers. So probably it's the first time ever that we do not see a burger.
Yeah,
we do not hear a burger. We're not in front of a grill. We have imagined how a burger should be. During our last 8 episodes, we talked about burger, letting people go on a journey of imagining what we're talking about, connecting to nostalgic and historical things without being into it and cooking it. But we're going to connect together. And
I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going with this.
In front of a grill.
Yeah.
In other episodes. But in conclusion to what we talked about, what we discussed, and what happened, your overview of our series.
Oh, I think it's phenomenal. I think giving justice to this work of art, because it is a work of art, is amazing. People love burgers all around the world. People cook them at home. They buy them. They take them from the supermarket and do it. It's something I think can help a lot of people. You can go in, look at what we've done, take some nuggets from them, reapply them, master it, add to it. So it's a wonderful series, I think.
First time in front of a camera?
Like this, yes. Like this, yes.
Would you do it again?
Absolutely, in a heartbeat.
Unscripted
all the way.
And it shows after all this time and all the episodes that you understand what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full passion project. You're not trying to find your words and saying, okay, what would I say here and there? And we learned a lot.
I learned a lot, which is fantastic. So I hope you guys learned a lot, and I hope you appreciate all of this. And like I said, we will be doing something I understood just now to help you visualize all of that.
What are the best moments of the last episodes?
When we laughed, when we agreed, when we disagreed, really understanding how to open up a shop for all the entrepreneurs out there, for the people who are hesitant, who want to, they have part of the formula, but they don't have the other, how to secure it. I think it's a educational, entertaining, sort of encompasses everything.
What's Ramsey's biggest dream?
to ensure everybody can try what we make.
Yeah. New shop opening one day?
what's the word? Inshallah.
Outside of the university?
Outside of university.
Would it be called SYOTG?
Probably not. Again, this is unscripted, so I don't know. But you will know that it's SYOTG somehow, somewhere.
Great episodes with Ramzi. I hope you like them. And we're going to connect together with more podcast shows and another cooking burger show with Ramzi again, because I love this guy and I believe he understands what he's talking about. Connect with us on YouTube, his Instagram, SYOTG, or mine on all podcast platforms and on YouTube. See you on the grill. No garlic, no onions. Burgers Unscripted. See you soon.
See you soon.